We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Audacy put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Audacy. Visit ads.audacy.com.
Make some noise,
It's 10 o'clock and time for us to make some history. Kind of. It's the pairing of two men, each with their own individual take on the Atlanta sports scene.
I'll take that.
For the next 4 hours, enjoy what we hope will be a great pairing of sports talk juggernauts. Well, that's what we're hoping for, at least.
Wow. You're handsome.
Durr.
Now, it's Andy and Randy. Andy Bunker.
I'm the first place individual.
And Randy McMichael.
You are that.
Just make sure you don't touch that dial, then we'll be cool. Touch it, then you the fool.
On Sports Radio 92.9, The Game.
Yeah. Good morning and welcome in Sports Radio 92.9, The Game, the midday show with Andy and Randy here with you on a Thursday. My name's Andy Bunker. That's Randy McMichael. Good morning, Randy.
What's happening, man?
How are you?
I am doing great, doing good. Had a nice rest. Woke up fluffy and full of lint. But other than that, I'm cooling, man.
Covered in fuzz.
Covered in fuzz. New comforter.
It's nothing like a new comforter. And it's a perfect.
Oh, it's so soft.
Perfect
Andy.
Time for
it's
it.
It's so soft. And I just said, I woke up this morning. And of course, we know this. When you wake up in the morning with your wife, you got to do like stealth to get out of bed because you don't want to wake her up.
Oh, yeah. You have to be like a cat burglar.
Yeah. So I would go downstairs, I turn on the light, look in the mirror, like, I turn it back off. Like, what the heck? And turn it back on, covered in fuzz from the new comfort. So needless to say, it won't be on the bed when I get back home.
You had to throw some extra blankets on the bed the last couple days, though. It's been freezing.
Oh, it's been chilly. And it was so funny. And I'll tell Carl when he gets here, listen to their show, Dukes and Bell. And he said the same thing. It's that cold weather where your dog look at you like you're crazy.
Yep.
I ain't going out there.
Yep.
You know what I'm saying? So that's a fun day. So, I mean, it's so true, though, because she ain't going out there. This morning again.
I heard him say that. Exact same thing. You know what we did, though, to get around it? Probably not going to be super surprising to you. We got him a little jacket. He's got a little like flannel jacket that he can put on if it gets too cold to go outside.
She got a sweater. I hate because she only does it when I'm not around, and I come home and like, how you got the bulldog in its skirt?
I hate it too.
I know it's a girl dog, but don't put her in no skirt.
It's supposed to be tough.
You know what I'm saying?
She hates bulldog.
It, and she hates it too. So
yeah, I know.
Put my baby in no skirt.
Boone feels the exact same way. I think he's embarrassed. Like you can see it in his eyes. You can see it in his eyes when he puts the thing on. He's like, this is embarrassing.
Yeah.
I'm supposed to be a dog. I need to be tougher and be out here by myself. But she loves it, and it makes for good Instagram posts. And that's, I guess, a big part of what being married is. Or at least so far, that's a big part of what it's been, which is great. I'm happy and everything's good. All right. We'll get into what's trending here in 20 minutes from right now. A lot going on. Got some updates on some Hawks injuries. Doesn't sound great for Kevin Huerter. We'll get into that coming up in about 20 minutes. Takeo Spike's going to join us at 10:40. Very much looking forward to that conversation as we continue to get ready for Georgia and Auburn this weekend.
Yeah, it's going to be fun, man. And you know, we always have fun with Georgia and Auburn. We meet Takeo and Ronnie and everybody because, you know, we're boys and we'll have some fun as far as bets, which we don't really bet. We just send each other crazy videos when we beat each other. But, yeah, looking forward to seeing my man. I just got a text from a little while ago, so he should be here about 10:30.
Great. 10:40. He'll be here at 10:30. We'll chat with him at 10:40 here on the midday show. But let's start here. We had a conversation with Charles Davis yesterday, NFL on Fox. He was in the booth for the Falcons game last Sunday against the Saints. So he got to see firsthand the Falcons at their best this season. He's also been in the booth for a couple of other Falcons games this year. He was there for the Rams game, which was not a good performance. And you know what's funny? And I don't think this is telling tales out of school or anything like that on Charles Davis. We asked him before the interview and said, how many games have you done this year of the Falcons? And he goes, I think three. Definitely two, but I think three. So at some point, he did a Falcons game this year, and it was so forgettable that he doesn't even remember doing the game. So that's not great. He did do the Saints game on Sunday, though, and obviously that is the most memorable game that they've had. And then he said this about where the Falcons are right now, and I'll let Charles Davis say it, and then I think there's a couple different ways to react to it. But first and foremost, here's Charles Davis from Fox.
Is it an indicator that they can flip it around and play to their potential? The answer is yeah.
but they have to prove that now. Mm. And I've been through this so many times with so many different teams in sports, and I hope everybody understands what I'm saying right here. In a lot of ways for Dan Quinn and this staff now, that game is almost a danger game, because what you've done is put it out there that you're capable,
right.
Very capable. Your owner was sitting right there with a big grin on his face like, whoa, that's what I like to see. Whatever you do, don't backslide. Don't go back to what it was before. Because I'm telling you, if they go back and play like they did during part of this 1-7, it's even worse on you.
That's really interesting. I hadn't thought of it that way until Charles Davis presented it like that. But he's right. Like, now, just this whole week leading into the game against the Panthers this weekend, like, I have expectations again for the Falcons. I didn't have expectations anymore going into the bye week. Like, they had just shown us enough that wasn't good to where I was like, all right, give me something, this, that, or whatever. But I can't legitimately go into the game expecting X, Y, and Z. I just go in hoping for something good. They went out there and played so well against the Saints that I don't think I'm alone on this one. Like, I look at this Panthers game and say, yeah, like, you showed that you can do it. You showed that you're capable. You told us that we're not crazy,
right?
That we weren't crazy to think that they could be good. So don't backslide. He's right.
You know what? My grandfather used to say this all the time. A dog, the sun shines on the dogs, you know.
Yeah.
You know, and it does.
It does.
And was that last Sunday, was that moment? You know what I'm saying? Was that the sun shining on the Falcons? I don't know. And my thing is, I wrote on my rundown, I said, would you be disappointed they lost? Or would it still feel the same as all the other losses? Oh, well, who cares? Because I think a lot of fans have checked out on them, you know. And it's easy to check out when you're a fan, when your favorite team or the team of your hometown team or whatever is not playing well. So that was always my question about last Sunday was, will you be disappointed? What are your expectations for the rest of the year? Because you got two sides of fans when I'm referring to the Falcons. You got ones that just want them to win. You got the others, well, we need the draft pick. You know what I'm saying? So the draft pick people, how do you feel about this win last Sunday? And the ones who are just diehard Falcon fans, how do you feel? How would you feel if they did not win this week? And would you be more disappointed because you saw them win, or would you still feel the same as you saw all those other losses?
I mean, it's such a new thing to be thinking about losing on purpose,
yeah.
Right? It's such a new phenomenon in tanking and all of that. I know it's gone on in the NBA for a while. Major League Baseball's done it a little bit. And I think there's evidence that there are teams this season, the Dolphins probably, even though they've won their last two games, which is ridiculous.
You see my Dolphins.
Yeah, Dolphins are getting hot. Look out. Second half team, I think. But that's a new thing that people do now, where if your team is starting to lose, they say, well, just lose all of them because that'll mean that we can accrue draft picks. Like, it's just not that easy for me. Like, I've always rooted for the teams that I'm rooting for to win.
Right.
Even when they're bad.
Right.
And I've rooted for a lot of bad teams. It's still fun when they win games.
Right.
So it's hard for me just to make that quick mental switch of, okay, well, the season's gone. Now I have 8 games left. Just lose all of them.
Okay.
Well, because you know the guys aren't going to try to do
They're
that.
They're not going
to,
exactly.
It's impossible
exactly.
to expect them to do that. The other thing, too, is, and I think you hit on it, and I don't know the answer. I don't know if it was the sun shining on a dog's backside or if it was the team actually finally playing to its potential. I think we'll have a better answer for that this weekend, because if they do the same thing that they did when they beat Philadelphia and come out the next week like they did against Indianapolis and don't show up and look terrible, then maybe that's just what they are. Maybe there's a couple times a year where there was enough talent and enough motivation to where they got up for it. The Philly game was the home opener on Sunday Night Football.
Right.
Pretty easy to get up for.
Right.
Right. This was against your rival in their house coming off of a bye week, and you're about as healthy as you've been all season.
Right.
Okay. Pretty easy to get up for. So, again, I don't know. I don't know if it's smart to expect that type of performance again, but I kind of do. I kind of do. And
there's
I'll be
wrong
honest
with
you,
that.
I would be disappointed if they lost. I didn't think at 1-7 in that bye week and everything we said leading into the Saints game last weekend, I didn't think the Falcons were capable of disappointing us again this year, because I think it had just been so disappointing that we were beyond it.
Right.
But that's different now. Like, they put that performance out there against the Saints, and now it's like, look, like I'm not crazy enough to think that they're going to go 8-0 and go on to the playoffs. I mean, it would be great if they did, but it that seems unlikely, and it's way too long down the road to even be thinking about. But yeah, I expect them to play like kind of like how they played against the Saints this weekend.
Well, and we'll see. We'll see. You know, like you said, that was the healthy as they've been. They've lost two starters.
Mm-hmm.
You know, your tight end who has a rapport with your quarterback, and you're probably your best running back. You're down right there. But I mean, this next man up, and again, still something from what Carl said, but it's always next man up. But the reason you're next man up because you're not good enough to be started. So can Brian Hill elevate his game? Can Jaden Graham elevate his game? Whoever's stepping in for these guys, you got to play big. Can Russell Gage, can he get some work done inside those hashes that hoop has left a void in right now? It's all about, you know, continuing to try and build something. Everything we talk about, well, they went out because still, they're still mathematically in it. You know what I'm saying? Which is funny, and that face you just made lets me know how you think it's funny.
No, you're right. You're right.
But with that being said, again, it's an opportunity to go out and win a football game. That's the most important thing, is just to win. Carolina Panthers, you can beat them. The Carolina Panthers are not as good a team as the Saints are. But at the same time, they're a completely different team. They believe in smash mouth. They want to win the line of scrimmage. So this is the bring your big boy pass game. This is exactly what this is. You got to put on two pair of shoulder pads, because what they're going to do, they're going to run the football, mm-hmm. and they're going to run it. And what Norv does, and what Coach Ron likes to do, they're going to force the run. Christian McCaffrey might have 20 yards at halftime. You know what? They're still going to run the football. They're still going to run it because they don't have as dynamic of a player at the quarterback position that they used to have.
The other thing that they're going to – and I wonder if that adds to the expectation a little bit too, Randy, because, look, I know Kyle Allen has come in and put together a nice record in a brief period of time. You'd have to think that teams are starting to understand a little bit of what he does and a little bit of what his limitations are. And I know that they're calling plays because of some of the limitations that he has. The offense is not nearly as – complex or dynamic as it was when Cam Newton was the quarterback, rightfully so. Cam Newton was the starting quarterback for years.
Right.
He's more capable of things than Kyle Allen is. But I wonder, like, that adds to it. The success that you had last week wasn't just against nobody.
Yeah.
We talked about it all last week. Wouldn't it be nice to come off a bye against Carolina because you feel like you're good enough to compete and maybe beat Carolina? The Saints are a different ball of wax.
Yeah.
Well, you beat the Saints with Drew Brees and basically everyone back that they needed to have back. Alvin Kamara played in that game. Like, you showed that you can play with that type of team. Like you said, the Panthers aren't as good as those guys are, and they've got a backup quarterback. I wonder if that adds to that expectation a little bit too, because it does for me. Like, if you can get to Drew Brees, because it's not just the offensive line that protects Drew Brees. Drew Brees does a really good job of getting the football out of his hand and not taking sacks. You got him on the ground 6 times last week.
You hit him 11 times.
And you hit him 11 times. I think it's ridiculous to expect that every single weekend, but I think you can make Kyle Allen uncomfortable enough to give yourself a chance to win this football game.
Get some turnovers, too.
You'd have to, right?
Get some turnovers. Hey, join me and 90% of the game at Dudley's Food and Spirits in Lithonia this Saturday from 1:30 to 3:30. Come grab some Dos Equis. We're going to watch some college football, and you can register for a chance to win 2 tickets to the Peach Bowl courtesy of Dos Equis. Dos Equis, drink responsibly.
All right, coming up next, we'll get into what's trending. We do have some Kevin Herter news, get back into what the Falcons need to do this weekend, and of course, Georgia and Auburn, and what Kirby's talking about here.
You can see him when he has ball skills. When he gets interceptions, he gets fumbles.
Who could he possibly be talking about there? We'll get into all that coming up next on the Midday Show with Andy and Randy, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
I don't have an ego that's anything bigger than our team. That's the most important thing, is, you know, how we can do the best job for the players. So that's what I felt was best at this time. And so that's why I really leaned on to Jeff and Raheem specifically to take on a larger role. And like you expected them to, they answered the challenge very strongly.
Dan Quinn there yesterday meeting with the media and answering questions about the coaching changes and saying, well, I don't have an ego. Doesn't make any difference to me if I'm the one in charge getting credit for it or not. I just want this team to win, which is the right thing to say.
Yeah.
I mean, no offense to Dan Quinn or anyone who's a head coach in the NFL, but yeah, you do.
Everybody has ego.
Everybody has an ego. Every head coach in the NFL absolutely does. You can't become a head coach in the NFL if you don't have an ego, because, I mean, that's just a big part of being able to get to that point anyway.
Yep.
Now, he made the changes. He's not calling plays on defense anymore. Ulbricht and Raheem Morris are splitting those duties, which is still, like, crazy to me. Whatever works, works. But, like, to have a first down, second down play caller, third down and 2-minute drill play caller is just so unique.
Dude, I've never heard of it. Now, it possibly has happened. Like, I've heard of somebody being the defensive coordinator and not calling plays.
Sure.
Because when Nick Saban was in Miami with us, Richard Smith, who was here in the Falcons, he was – the defensive coordinator, but Will Muschamp called all the defense. So, you know, I've seen the title, but yeah, I never heard of somebody calling, but hey, it worked. And the only thing that most people are saying is, what took so long? That's the thing about it. What took so long.
Yep.
What spurred this on right now? I mean, I know it's difficult to make those kind of adjustments during the season. You know, you were able to do it during the bye week, but still, I mean, that goes back to what we talked about in the last segment. I mean, how disappointing are you now knowing that, you know what, if this change would have been made 3 weeks ago, maybe we would maybe be 3-something like now.
Maybe. And obviously, any one or two more win in the first half of the season or at this point of the season, and Matt Ryan said it earlier in the week, and I know some people hear it and go, yeah, okay, you guys are this or that away from being in it. But, I mean, if they had 4 wins right now and you saw the way they played on Sunday against the Saints, then you could talk yourself into them maybe making a run. Obviously, it's a long shot when you go into the bye week at 1-7. I wonder what would be more disappointing to the majority of Falcons fans. Because as we're having that conversation in the first segment, folks are tweeting at us and texting us and stuff and giving us their thoughts on what Charles Davis said and then on the next 7 games. Would it be more disappointing to you if they just sort of fell back into the way that they looked in that 6-game losing streak and finished 2-14 and just it was just a mediocre limp to the finish line? Or they just sort of fight and claw their way to something like 5-3 in the second half of the season and go 6-10, and in doing that, sacrifice a slightly better draft pick.
I don't worry about the draft pick. I think I look at it from the people up there and their perspective is that we're trying to win every single game,
right?
Because you know the thing about draft pick, I might not be here to welcome him here,
right?
You know, so why do I care?
That's the thing
about
it.
You know what I'm saying? Why do I care where we draft at? You know, and that's what all players think. Like, okay, I'm worried about a draft pick, but you know what? You could be drafting my replacement at that spot. So I don't care. I'm trying to go out here and win these games. And it's funny that people think the players are being selfish because they want to win. Well, that's their job, is to win. Now, they're not doing it, but at the same time, your job is to go out there and try and win every single football game.
Exactly. Try. And I think at the very least, you know, whether you believe Dan Quinn has an ego or not, whether you don't know exactly why it took them so long to make these changes that they made or not, whatever, like, we don't have definitive answers to those questions. What I think we do know definitively is everything they did in the first 8 games was in an attempt to win.
Right.
Making these changes during the bye week was also in an attempt to win. It worked.
It did in
the first week. What if it keeps working? Like, could this be something that other teams try? Like, we're talking about first and second down, play caller, third and whatever.
Know.
Like, I don't know.
I don't know. But
I don't know.
The thing with it is, and my man J.C. Chuckery had a nice article up on the on 99thegame.com, and he's right. It's so hard to gauge Mr. Blank. You don't know. What if they do run off some wins and everything like that? And,
I don't know.
And he looks at Dan like, you know, maybe we could do it again because of the adjustment that you made to your staff. We think it can work again. What if that really does happen? That'd be crazy. And my thing is that how do you sell that to your fan base more than anything? I think that's the biggest thing when we talk about the PSLs and all that and having people in that building over there. How does that sell if you make that move? Because it's not out of the realm for Mr. Blank to be like, hey, you know what? Let's give it one more shot. It really isn't.
And I mean, just based on what we know a little bit about Arthur Blank, because I don't think either one or you and I are going to sit here and pretend to know him intimately.
Right.
You've seen the track record of moves that he's made. You've heard interviews that he's given throughout the years. Seems like a pretty loyal guy. Like, and willing to give people a little bit more time than maybe other owners would. So here's how you sell it. Win.
Yeah.
It's just like anything in sports,
buddy. They'll boo. They might not show up, but the more wins you put up, the more butts gets in those seats.
Arthur Blank, by the way, is the only person in the Falcons organization, as I see it, who can afford to be thinking about whether or not losing games is a good idea for draft picks.
Uh-huh.
Because everybody else has no idea what their future holds.
None.
And if I'm Jeff Ulbricht or Raheem Morris or any of the coaches or Dan Quinn or any of them, I mean, besides Matt Ryan, Julio Jones, Grady Jarrett, Deion Jones, like the guys with fresh contracts.
Right.
Everybody else doesn't know.
Nobody.
So what am I going to do? I'm going to not win so you can draft this guy and then I'm gone?
And then when you have those guys that you're talking about, the Julio Jones, especially Matt Ryan, you don't rebuild.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? You don't start. You don't sell off assets and everything and try and position your – no, you don't do that when you have that quarterback that you're paying like that. You try to reload and put things around him. And I know that people won't talk about, oh, they don't have any – they're going to have plenty of money, all right? When a lot of these contracts are coming off the books – they're going to have money. But the thing about it is when the free agent list comes out and all these guys, I think Jadeveon Clowney will be one of the top edge rushers. Okay, yeah, it sounds good to go get him, but are you willing to pay him back? Like, I like Jadeveon Clowney. I just think he's just so hot and cold.
Yeah,
and when he's hot, dude. You saw what happened. Hey. You saw what happened in that Sunday night game. Monday night game.
He sure knew he was on national TV on Monday night, didn't he?
Yeah, but then there's some games you're like, okay, well, he's out there. But I mean, those are the things that you look at as far as what you're trying to do, because you don't know who's coming in here. What kind of system are they going to run? You know, I think offensively you'd be fine because you got Matt Ryan when you talk about system. But defensively, do you have the personnel to fit another guy's deep? I mean, it's so much that goes into it. That's why I said it makes no sense to worry about draft picks. The biggest and most important thing right now is Carolina.
Yep, Carolina this weekend. Before we hear from Kirby Smart and get into the Georgia-Auburn game in just a minute, did want to mention this about Kevin Herter. He did have an MRI on his shoulder. It was negative, but he's here in Atlanta
right now.
He's not with them in Phoenix. They got two more games after that this weekend. So if the team's on the West Coast and Kevin Herter's in Atlanta, that doesn't seem particularly good.
No.
I know that he's dealing with injuries coming into the season. And that damn Jokic.
Dad bod.
That dad bod Jokic, man.
Yeah.
That paw of his where he fouled Herter on the arm, I feel like Nikola Jokic has the heaviest hands in the NBA.
He probably does.
I haven't measured them or weighed them or anything like that. They just look like they weigh like twice as much as a normal hand.
But the thing, Andy, the MRI was negative. Maybe they need to come back, get them some treatment and all that, and you know, just wait for the team to get back from L.A. And hopefully it's nothing serious, man, because right now the way, you know, Cam is still trying to find his way, you got to have Herter out there,
yep.
You know, because you really don't have a lot in that backcourt as far as depth. And, you know, he was a big part coming into the season that they let us know that this is mm-hmm. this guy right here. We're counting on him to play some big minutes for us and fill a big void.
No Kevin Herter, no John Collins at the time, which is not particularly great. Against the Suns tonight, tip-off at 9 o'clock, pregame at 8:30 right here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Remember when Kirby Smart was talking about somebody having ball skills?
Yeah.
He's talking about this guy.
Derek's an extremely good athlete. I mean, first of all, when you put athleticism in a person's body that's that size, I mean, he was a great basketball player. He's a great athlete. You can see him when he has ball skills. I mean, he gets interceptions, he gets fumbles, he's around the ball, and he's explosive. I mean, you got that kind of twitch, and you're as big as he is, just hard to block. And he's been a very disruptive player in this league for a long time.
Yeah, he's talking about Derek Brown. Derek Brown's the best player on Auburn's football team.
Yeah.
And if you can take him out of the game in one way or another, or at least try to neutralize him a little bit this weekend, you got a great chance to win. Read an interesting article last night about Derek Brown and about George Pickens and about the recruiting battles between the coaches and all of that. Derek Brown, obviously from the area, from right around Lake Lanier. George Pickens from Alabama was a commit to Auburn and then switched to Georgia at the last minute. Just adding a little extra fun and fuel to the fire of this rivalry this weekend.
Yeah, man. And the thing about it is that as good as Derek Brown is, you look at Marlon Davidson and Big Bryant and all those dudes, they got some girth up there,
yes,
man.
They do.
They got some girth. And Derek Brown, I mean, the plays he made in the Florida game, then the one game, last game when he came off the sideline and, like, almost decapitated the running back on the swing pass. I mean, we know he's going to be a top 10 pick.
I don't blame Kirby for this, but is there a non-awkward way to, like, thoroughly describe how athletic someone is? Besides just saying he's really athletic, when you start talking about twitch.
He laid into it.
And ball skills and all that kind of stuff. Just gets weird, and it gets weird quickly.
Laid into it. Hey, the 2019 Pro Football Pick'em brought to you by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. If you get the most games right each week, you got a shot at $1,000. And if you score the best throughout the entire season, you get a trip to Miami for the Super Bowl, and you get $5,000. Get signed up at the contest page at 99thegame.com.
We'll come back and keep it going on that conversation. Georgia and Auburn this weekend, 3:30 on CBS. Takiyo Spikes joins us in studio next to talk some college football right here on the Midday Show with Andy and Randy. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, the Midday Show with Andy and Randy with you here on a Thursday. 20 minutes away from an NFL no huddle. Bunch of stuff to get into top of the 11 o'clock hour. We've got more information on Colin Kaepernick's workout. Kind of.
Yeah.
A little bit. It's still very unusual and don't exactly understand what's happening or why it's happening right now, but we'll get to that. College football corner coming up in the 11 o'clock hour as well. We've got a question about quarterbacks. When you look at the top of the college football playoff rankings right now, a lot of quarterbacks, names that you know, household names right now, which is sort of a new trend, I think, in college football. You go back over the last couple of years, maybe 10, 15 years, and even national champions had quarterbacks that were on the team then. You think about them then, and it's kind of out of sight, out of mind after that season was over.
Out of sight, out of mind.
But as we look ahead to this game on Saturday between Georgia and Auburn, and I know Takiyo Spikes is going to step in here and join us in just a minute. Obviously, he played in that game a number of times, as did you. What are some of your great memories from playing against Auburn and maybe playing at Auburn?
I would say just that atmosphere when we went down there and played them at night. It came down to like a last-second field goal they beat us. I mean, Terrence was playing quarterback, and I mean, Terrence went off that game. But I think one of my – I said this yesterday, was my first year at Georgia, and we just came off from beating Florida, and like we were on our way to the Sugar Bowl and played Auburn. And I just remember Takiyo and Robert Edwards meeting at the goal line. I mean, in that
that's a great picture.
That was a great picture. I'll always remember that. But, I mean, just the fact that there's so many Georgia players on the Auburn team, and I was messing with Takiyo because he wanted to go to Georgia. We just couldn't afford him, you know. You know, as I like to joke with him all the time about that. But, I mean, it's a fun rivalry, man. It really is. And I don't think it's as hated. It's not – to me, it doesn't seem like it's a hated rivalry or anything. But it's fun, man. It's a fun game to play in.
Yeah, and I mean that
– And then, I remember this one.
Oh, go ahead.
I remember Hines. Hines got like a concussion like early in the first quarter and was like set out and came back in the second half and just dominated.
It feels like one of those games where, I mean, obviously the history, it's the Deep South's oldest rivalry and all of that, but it doesn't have that same level of vitriol like a Florida does, like a Georgia Tech does, and that's fine. Like, not every rivalry game has to have that. It almost feels like it has like a mutual respect or something like that. Like, both programs have been really good for a really long time. If you look at win totals and if you look at ability to go into the other person's building and win and all that kind of stuff, like, there's a lot of similarities in the games that have been played between these two teams. There's a lot of similarities between the teams this year, too.
Like, yeah.
Great defenses. Offenses that have the ability to do some impressive things, but they don't always. And to me, and maybe I'm oversimplifying it, but if you talk about similar strengths that these teams have, there's a lot of them. I think Georgia's biggest advantage is that they've got Jake Fromm, and that Auburn's got a true freshman quarterback in Bo Nix.
I think he's going to be a good quarterback.
Why did
they got Whitlow back, and I think that is the one thing that helps this offense work is the fact that they have that consistent run game. And when Gus has that in this offense, that makes it better. It's going to take a lot of pressure off of Bo Nix and everything if they can run the football. But we know how stout Georgia has been against the run. And, oh, here he comes.
There he is.
And he brought gifts.
Really?
He brought gifts this time.
That's
how
great.
You doing, man?
Takiyo Spikes stepping into the Kia Studios with us here on the Midday Show with Andy and Randy. Thanks so much for coming by. How's it? Hit that. There it is. Thanks for coming by. How are you?
Man, all is good. All is good. It's always it's a good thing to be in the blessing and the presence of not only 92.9, but this young man over here to the right, Randy McMichael, hearing this analysis.
That's how I feel every day. Every single day. A blessing. Right, Randy?
I mean, that's what my mama say. Hey, that's what she always tells me. What's going on, brother? How you doing, man?
Man, I'm good, man. You know, it's been a good week, busy week, and had a lot going on. But when you gave me a shout, it was imperative that, you know, I had to come down here, man, and spend a little time with you and talk with you.
And me and Andy, right before, you know, we're in a break or whatever, and when you're walking up, and we were talking about, he was asking me about my biggest, you know, takeaways from playing in this game. And I always tell him about the one with you and Robert, that picture.
Yeah.
Of y'all meeting at the – is that your favorite part of this rivalry?
You know, it's a little hot in here.
I saw the orange shirt up under the –
Well played. Well played. If you want to watch what Takiyo Spikes just did, you can watch on Watch92.com.
Man, I feel a lot better right now.
Just really?
Remove the sweatshirt to reveal the orange Auburn shirt underneath.
Randy, you're very – articulate in your message. What does that say up underneath?
Okay. Well, I mean, you're just excited now because Auburn finally got a big time, you know, shoe contract, because they were always Russell Athletic. Y'all wearing Rydells. So don't act like y'all just always been Under Armour now, man.
Russell has been very good to us, and you too, even in high school.
I wore the Rydells. Yeah, yeah. I did. I wore them concrete bottom shoes and everything. but now I can wear some nice stuff. But I mean, y'all just got like hip over there down in the plains.
Come on, man. You know, it's. I think a lot of it. Well, I don't think a lot of it had to do with the contractual obligations of Russell in the earlier years.
Uh-huh.
Now they stepped the game up to Under Armour. I'm sporting this Under Armour undeniable Auburn shirt right now. The rivalry is this week. And it's you know, the people who are not a part of this rivalry, especially when they're from different places of the country, they know and they see and they hear that this is the oldest football rivalry in the South.
Right.
You know what I mean? So it's huge. Are you going to the game?
Of course not.
Why?
I'm gonna be like I said. We're going to see Donna's family. We're going to the Philippines this weekend. So
that's a good reason.
So,
why.
Yeah. So, but Saturday I'm gonna watch the game. Make sure y'all come over to. Let me see where I'm gonna be at Deadly's Food and Spirits in Lithonia. Got a Dos Equis little appearance there. So I'll watch a little bit of the game there. Then I gotta get to the airport.
Very nice.
And watch the rest of it on the plane. So that's gonna be the most interesting thing is watching a football game on the plane, especially watching Georgia. But you know, I mean,
you
I'm not
be
worried
scaring
about
people. You won't be scaring people on the plane
because you know me.
Yes.
The answer to that question is yes. You know me and your history. Like, you know, last year I sent him a video of his godson Samson doing a little strut after Georgia beat Auburn. He'll send me a video but it's not going to happen this year. So I'll send another video when I get to LA on Saturday night.
Man, listen to the confidence, the disrespect in this piece, man.
Why shouldn't I?
Watch it, Randy. You act like this has been a. How many times have y'all? What's the record? What's the all-time record?
It depends on who you ask.
Oh, so it depends on if you're wearing the red and black Georgia glasses, then how you see everything.
What I do know, Takiyo, is that Kirby Smart has yet to win a road game against an SEC West opponent. That's something that has not happened in Kirby Smart's tenure yet. Maybe it happens this Saturday, Randy. I don't know what's going to happen in the game. I'm not a fortune teller.
I mean, watch the show.
But I'm saying that hasn't happened yet. And look, that's something to think about going into this game.
So our producer just said it's 59-56 Georgia.
Exactly.
Bro,
that means every other year we going back and forth.
I agree. I said this yesterday, and you remember I said this? I said it's always strange because we would always beat y'all down there, and y'all would always beat us in Athens. I know this is an evenly matched thing, but because you're here and you had to take off your sweater – and pull out that orange, I had to say something. I think this is going to be a great game. It's 2.5. Is the line like 2.5 or something like that? So
yeah.
It's going to be like that. But we know this about the planes. Strange things happen on the plane.
Yes, they do.
Especially when we come down there.
Yes, they do. And this is the thing, though, what I'm excited about is just to know when you look at our team, what, 7-2 overall,
mm-hmm.
Came off of a win the previous week. You guys, what, 8-1?
Yes.
You're leading the SEC East. Florida is sniffing right behind you. So, really, the pressure is really all on you guys.
I know that.
You know what I'm saying? So, we really going out there with really no additive pressure. And just to know Bo Nix, freshman quarterback, what I've been seeing out of him, he's been getting better every week.
Uh-huh.
And I wish that they would kind of take the handcuffs off of him a little bit.
You think that he can do more?
I think he can do more.
Okay.
I just think from his acumen, his football acumen coming from his father, Patrick Nix. And so he knows football, you know?
Right.
And so I think the more he continues to play, the better that we will see him perform.
Okay. And we know you got your new podcast out, Behind the Mask and everything. Tell us about that. You and my man, Tuton, having some fun. Guest. I mean, yeah. I mean, he's so big. Y'all was in London?
Yeah,
we did everything.
We took the podcast on the road, man, and
wow,
we went to London, had an opportunity to sit down and speak with linebacker,
the Queen of England. Oh no, sorry, I was just guessing.
Luke Kuechly.
Uh-huh.
We talked to Kuechly, talked to Cincinnati Bengals head coach. So, you know, it was fun, man. You know, the thing I love about the podcast is. It came off from my book. It was a spinoff,
mm-hmm.
Behind the Mask, and sharing intimate stories. Stories like how you and I, we get together and we talk locker room conversations and we really get the skinny on what's really happening. Another thing that we also introduced into the podcast is checking today's current climate,
uh-huh.
on whether or not what issues are hot. What's your perspective? You know, one of the things that everybody is talking about now is when you look at Michael Vick, not Michael Vick, but you look at the Atlanta Falcons, the record where they are now, but then you see what came out 2 days ago with Colin Kaepernick
right.
having to work out here. Some people feel like it's a ploy, you know.
I do.
And, you know, and my question is, if it is a ploy, well, Colin tweeted it out.
Right.
So, you know what I mean? So I want clarity, too. I'm still gathering research on it, but we definitely will address it in our next podcast.
Okay.
And you can find us at the BTM podcast. Definitely follow me in my bio. You can click the link in my bio, and you definitely can see everything.
They got their podcast to London.
Yeah.
We can't even take our radio show to Florida.
We can't even go to Jacksonville.
Can't even go across state lines. Hey, would it be possible to hang out for a couple minutes on the other side of the break?
Yeah.
Still a lot more to get to. I want to ask you about Derrick Brown. I want to ask you more about the football game coming up on Saturday as well. Taquio Spikes in studio with us here.
And why y'all roll the damn trees? Let me ask you that.
Well, let's get to that, too. A lot of questions for Taquio Spikes on the other side. We'll be right back to kick off the 11 o'clock hour here on the Midday Show with Andy and Randy on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.